This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Sue Tolson. How are you, Sue?
I'm great, thank you, Chris. Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. I've finally stopped sweating. I just interviewed a lady from Sarah from the Swedish Monopoly, and I was saying that all my power adapters for Italy broke, and so I've just done two interviews dripping with sweat.
Yeah, because then you run around and you're getting stressed.
yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk today about Hungary.
Okay, well, I know quite a bit about that because I live there. So
yes, yeah, you've got a very Englishy accent though.
Yeah, I'm English, but I've been sort of on and off in Hungary for 20 years, but probably in total about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So I know Hungary quite well now.
Okay.
And seen things change quite considerably over this period of time.
Okay, so I think what we'll do is we'll spend a bit of time talking about Hungarian consumers, what they like and what they drink, and a little bit on some of the changes in the vineyards, because hopefully everybody knows about Tokaj, but Tokaj is just a very famous sweet wine from Hungary, but there's other stuff going on there.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I mean, Tokaj is just one of 22 regions.
So yeah.
Although it's the flagship region and it's the region that most people know about,
yeah,
there are a heck of a lot of other regions that are doing really nice things as well, and
yeah,
great progress is being made.
Well, before we get too far, the grape variety, I think I pronounce it as Harshlavili.
No.
This is the thing. I've had 4 Hungarian people give me different pronunciations for it.
Really? So okay, well, maybe I'll give you a different one as well.
You give me the definitive.
Okay, well, as far as I know, it's called Harshlavili.
Harshlavili. Okay.
And it means linden leaf.
Okay. But it's one of the great varieties in Tokaj.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, whenever I do a presentation on Hungarian Tokaj and I go to pronounce it, someone in the audience says, no, you say it this way. So I write it down the way that next time I do it, I pronounce it their way. No. So it drives me insane.
We have quite a lot of unpronounceable grapes, unfortunately, yeah, which doesn't really help us internationally.
Yeah, no.
If you can't say them.
Yeah, that is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was at a presentation yesterday and about Sardinian wines, and I think one of the grape varieties was Marion or Madarin or something.
Oh, yeah, there were a couple of really quite tongue-twisting varieties.
Yeah, but the presenter said, this wine we expect to do really well in international markets because people can say it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're fighting against, or that we have difficulty with, because we have a grape called Csegi Fűszeres.
That just rolls off the tongue.
And it just rolls off the tongue, even for, you know, Hungarians. And it was dubbed the unpronounceable grape by an MW. And it was sold for quite a long time in the UK as Woodcutter's White, because it was exported by a big winery in Hungary. But that really is very, very difficult to say. Look at it and you have no clue how you get to say that word.
Okay.
And we have a fair few of those, so it doesn't really help if you sell them variously that people can't say them. So Furmint, I think, is not too bad because you can say that.
Yeah.
And Kadarka and things like this that are much more, which are much easier for a non-Hungarian to say. The word, the letters look like letters that you know rather than these double-accented vowels that some things are full of.
Yeah, I found a website that sort of translates those into words that I might, letters or sounds that I might know. So I've bookmarked that, and it still doesn't help me too much.
But if you know the rules, actually, it's very logical. It's not like English where, you know, you look at a word and if you didn't know it and you think, how do I pronounce that? If you know all the rules, it is actually, it follows the rules.
Yeah.
But learning the rules is not the easiest if you're not a Hungarian speaker, obviously.
Okay, so let's talk a wee bit about the consumers in Hungary. Okay. I think of Hungary and Budapest as a sort of stag drinking beer type of environment.
Yes.
But wines, what do Hungarians drink?
Well, there's different categories of Hungarians. There's quite a lot of Hungarians who don't drink at all because under communism, a lot of people had problems with alcoholism. So a lot of people have an alcoholic in the family or have had an alcoholic in the family. So there are a lot of young people who don't actually drink at all.
Yeah.
You had a lot of consumers who are looking really at price rather than quality. And these people will often be drinking semi-sweet rather than dry wine.
Yeah.
But you have an increasing number of people, especially in Budapest, that are becoming more and more aware of wine and quality wine. So not only looking at Hungarian wine itself, but there are wine bars. There's an Italian wine bar as well that has an excellent range of Italian wines. So I think you could group people into two very broad groups. Obviously, you've got sort of uneducated consumers who will very often drink very, very cheap, could be imported, could also be Hungarian, and often, as I said, a touch of sweetness in there as well. And they look for it. And especially in the countryside, perhaps you find this because producers who go out and are presenting their wines in the countryside, they will say that often people are coming and asking, do you have a sweet wine?
Yeah.
Whereas I think tastes in the capital, in Budapest, are there's an element of people that are much more sophisticated who are looking for high quality wines. And there are numerous wine bars springing up all the time. So there's not only this stag and hen night image, there's also a quality wine scene as well.
Okay.
And in the summer, you find that not people don't drink only beer, they drink something called Frötsch, which is another unpronounceable thing, perhaps. And there's a great variety of Frötsch. And Frötsch is a spritzer, a wine spritzer. And so you'll often see people drinking a pint or something pink, and you're thinking, God, what's that?
Yeah.
And it's a rosé spritzer.
Yeah.
And it's quite acceptable even for guys to be drinking this pink spritzer. So this is a typical thing in the summer, as you drink these versions of spritzer, and you have different names for them depending on the ratio of soda water to wine.
Okay.
So that's very typical as well. But of course, there's also a certain amount of beer drinking going on, a lot of craft beer being produced.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a wide range of styles in Hungary as well.
All right. It's a bit of a shame about this, because I actually quite like sweet wines. One of the problems you get is you get a lot of wine people look down on semi-sweetened wines because it is the gateway wine that people start off. And the nice thing about a little bit of sweetness is it hides a lot of faults.
Yes.
So if you've got low quality grapes, making it slightly sweet, you can hide it. So
that's true.
A lot of cheaper semi-sweet wines are really just rubbish grapes that they've hidden.
Exactly, with a bit of extra sugar.
It's a shame because semi-sweet wines are quite nice. And
yes.
And if you look at the trend towards lower alcohol wines, what are they replacing the alcohol with? They're replacing it with sugar. You know, so
and a lot of the regions also will make very nice late harvest wines, which will not be as sweet as a Tokaj Asu, for example. And so then you have these more quality semi-sweet wines as well.
Is it like the Samorodny or something like
that?
Well,
a Samorodny is
you don't roll the R's. I always thought you had to roll the R's.
You do,
but
I'm very lazy.
Oh, good. Oh, here we go. I said something better than the expert.
No, Samorodny isn't. I rolled it there. Samorodny is made with botrytized grapes or like grapes that have a bunch that has some botrytized grapes in as well. But obviously a late harvest, they're looking for it just clean fruit.
Yeah.
And Samorodny is like the stepping stone up to Asu, where you individually pick all of the prototyped berries off the bunch.
Yeah.
And Samorodny is like as they come. It comes from a Polish word, which I can't remember and I can't pronounce, but it sounds like Samorodny. And so it's kind of halfway house between Asu and a late harvest,
where
you'd have the healthy grapes.
So in terms of the wines, you said that the Hungarians like to drink some of their own wines. Internationally, what do they tend to drink?
So in Hungary, what international things there were?
Yeah, yeah. What country's popular?
Well, I think you find quite a few Italian wines. You find obviously the lower shelf Italian wines that people are importing for the supermarkets. But high quality things, you'll find Italy, you'll find Spain, you'll find France, some things from the New World, so Argentina and Chile as well.
Yep.
But the average wine shop will have a very small section, I have to say, of international wines.
Is that because you make your own, so why would you go outside it?
I think it's a combination of you make your own, so why go outside it? And it's also a question of price. Because if you want a quality wine from France, you're quite possibly going to be paying more than you would for a Hungarian wine, depending on the region. So it's a price issue, and it's also a patriotism issue, I think. You know, Hungarians, like everybody else who have their own wine, they're very patriotic and they like to drink Hungarian.
Yeah, and you have Viktor Orban, isn't it? He's in charge, and he's very nationalistic.
Yes.
He's like the Trump of Europe.
Yeah, and he likes to fuel it as well, which is unfortunately a problem.
Okay. Talking about the regions, so we talked Tokaj. I've done shows on Tokaj before, so I don't really want to revisit that. But what are some of the big other regions or important other regions?
Well, what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow is We have two very important red wine producing regions, or three possibly. So down in the deep south where it's extremely hot, we have a place called Villagne, which is written Villainy, just to make things complicated. And they are focusing very much on Bordeaux blends and Cabernet Franc. So Cabernet Franc is their flagship variety.
Yeah.
A little bit further north, we have a region called Sexard, which always makes people snigger. And they have a Bicaver, a bull's blood, just like we know the Eger bull's blood.
Yeah, yeah.
There are two regions that produce this.
Ah, okay.
And they also
bull's bloods were these to actually add a little bit of blood to the wine, in theory.
No, actually, there were two stories depending on the two regions. One region, like Eger, which is another region that produces the bull's blood that most people know from the past, they're famous for their blends, really. And the story goes that the Turks were besieging the castle in Eger, and the besieged Hungarians thought they were going to lose, so they decided to drink up all the wine in the cellar. And this gave them some Dutch courage, and they went out to fight the Turks. And the Turks said, "Oh my God, they're so courageous, they must be mixing bull's blood with their wine." And this is the story for Eger. And in Sexard, it's simply that the colour of the wine was very, very deep, so they called it bull's blood.
Ah, okay.
But you're right, of course, you do add blood, or you could have added blood in the past to clarify the wine.
Yeah, it's a fining agent.
But this is not the reason that it got this name. It's this story about, which is quite a nice story, whether it's true or not, I don't know. You know, these Hungarians went out with their beards dripping with red wine and were very ferocious.
Yeah.
So we have these three regions that are well known for red wine. Then we have quite a few volcanic regions. So Tokaj itself is volcanic.
Yeah.
But we have some regions down at the Balaton, one called Badachoin, where they're more famous for their white wines, and Somló, where they have some these are two volcanic butts, basically.
Yeah.
And they produce very interesting, very mineral-driven white wines for two regions.
Oh, okay.
And so I would say these are some of the more interesting regions where things are really happening at the moment, sort of hotbeds of activity.
Okay. In the UK, you see Tokaj in the UK, you see ferment coming through mainly from the Tokaj region, but I don't see many of the other Hungarian styles coming through. Like Romania, when communism fell, Romania was exporting like crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing, well, I wasn't in the UK at the time, but I don't remember hearing about Hungary doing the same thing?
I think with Hungary, I mean, we have a lot of very small wineries, so obviously it's quite difficult for them to export en masse to the UK, although there are some efforts now. A friend of mine has a business called Wines of Hungary, and she's making quite good inroads into trying to get wines into the UK. But you often find them like in supermarket-owned labels, and you don't really know it's from Hungary because it says "I heart Pinot Grigio," for example,
and you assume
that that's probably going to be Italian, but you turn it round and it's actually from Hungary.
Yep.
So they are producing quite a few, you know, supermarket-owned labels.
Okay.
But I think the thing with Romania is that they had a lot of very big wineries with big capacities. I think it's happening, but it's slower than with Romania, I think.
Okay. And what's the thing that you should look out for, do you think, in the UK if you want to get into some Hungarian wines? Do you know any particular good bars, restaurants, shops, retailers?
This is actually quite interesting because I did a project for one of the places I work in Hungary at one point, looking about where you could find not just Hungarian wine, but Central and Eastern European wine in the UK.
Yeah.
And it was actually quite a difficult task to find things. You could find things in the supermarkets. That's where I discovered that a lot of these own labels were Hungarian or Romanian. But you need to go to specialists, very specialized wine shops, I think, or online wine retailers. The Wine Society has a few Hungarian wines, for example. But it was very far, few in between, that you found one or two here and one or two there, but no one that had a very big range of Hungarian wines.
Okay. All right. So I know you've got to head off and do a presentation now. So thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Very nice talking to you.
Cheers very much.